Costa.
And if anybody knows Flaccid,
it's Judson you. Richards.
And Judson Richards.
Now I get it!
Here's Costa and Judson.
In a Monday on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
Here we go!
Good morning to everybody out there.
All right!
What a week. What a day we have. Actually, I only know today's show. I'm assuming tomorrow's show and the next day's show. What a bold statement that was right out of the jump, Fletch. I'm like, what an amazing 5 days we have for you.
You're about to have the greatest week of your life.
So, Fletch, can you deliver on the promises I made in the first 31 seconds of today's show?
Yeah, Babe Ruth joining the show tomorrow.
Babe Ruth.
Oh, I love him.
Our dream guests, dead or alive. That should be, maybe ladies we'll discuss that at some point.
All you great Yankee fans out there. I thought it.
Should we interview the Babe?
Why not?
No one would see through that,
no.
Right? We'll put a little cell phone from Adobe Audition on it, and it'll be a gem.
You have his assistant. Okay, Mr. Ruth is standing by.
Hey, guys, how's everybody in San Diego?
Yeah, you know, Costa, I,
What?
I'm disappointed to look in your eyes today.
What? Why?
Well, because there's a lot of areas where I like giving you a hard time. I like poking you in the ribs
sure.
a little bit.
Sure.
But I looked in your eyes minutes before the show. I'm like, Jesus, man, you look really sleepy. Like I kind of just want to give Pop Pop here a pillow.
That wouldn't be too bad, to be honest with you. No, you know what? And maybe I've got to go home and talk to the boss after the show, because she's the one who green-lit this thing. Even though Toph's 17th birthday officially was last Sunday, because of scheduling, we had his party.
His week-long party.
Look, yeah, my birthday week, Dad.
My birthday week.
Anything I want. We had his party yesterday. And I was kind of like at first, well, we couldn't do it on a Saturday. No. Everyone who wants it, they can only do it Sunday. So we had his party yesterday. And, you know, when you're having a party, you're running around making sure all the stuff, blah, 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 blah. So I didn't get to bed and probably until about 10, actually fell asleep like 10:15, 10:30.
Okay.
Gross.
And, yeah.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. And when it's 10.
And you get up at what time? You tell the people you get up?
Straight up 3 o'clock.
All right. That's, yeah, so, that's not healthy.
Yeah. You hit 10:30, you might as well start thinking in terms of, well, just power through.
Yeah.
Just go have a sugar-free, rock-free, and just sit there and go out.
I would have picked you one up, man.
I know. So go out and do something for the next four, whatever. Yeah, so a little tired.
You and by the way, you don't seem that tired at all. I kind of just, because Fletch and I were kind of going back and forth and yada, yada, and you were like, yeah, so at 7:30, we're going to do this. And I was like, hey. What's going on over there, Mr. Serious Pants?
No. Don't. Because we have a rule here that at 5:20 or so every morning, all three of us are in the studio and just making sure that we're good with the rundown and we have all our P's and Q's and I's dotted, T's crossed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was not my normal jovial ADD self.
No.
I was actually paying attention to what we had to do. And you're like, whoa, hey, what's wrong with you?
Because usually it's me that's like, arr, 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 arr.
Well, see, you also left your key card at home this morning.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to come get you.
Couldn't find my keys. I had to text Fletch,
please. That's a rough way to start the day.
Oh, my God. I'm running around the house. I have a little back sweat going and about, you know, I'm like, where's my keys? Where's my keys? So, and then, you know, I come in and you mentioned my eyes look like a couple of boiled onions, which they do. Thank God we're on radio. And then you both kind of alluded to, well, were your eyes closed when you put your shorts on today?
Oh yeah.
And I've got
I don't have the energy to pick on
go
you today.
Do it. I'm the one who chose these.
No, I'm not gonna.
Oh,
I'm not gonna.
All right.
I'm not gonna.
It's fancy.
I'll do it.
Your shorts look like a bowl of cereal that's inverted because the shorts are blue and the cereal's white.
Yeah, it's little
instead
white
milk.
Little white daisy flowers on my shorts
all
today.
All I'm gonna say, I don't love them.
That's okay.
But that's all I'm going to say.
Hey,
because
what,
I'm
variety is the spice of life, folks.
Yeah. By the way, we do have a killer show today.
Yeah.
Hopefully Costa will be around to enjoy it. But here's what you would miss if you didn't enjoy it, Costa. Kevin Acey, 7:30. We had to move him up. Why? Because it is the football hour with Nick Hardwick. Our friend Nick, we know you guys love him out there talking football. Full hour, 8 o'clock, and we've invited his former offensive coordinator, Cam Cameron, will join the show at 8:30 as well.
Love it.
Kevin Acey, 7:30. Nick Hardwick and Tyre, 8 o'clock hour. Cam Cameron upcoming at 8:30. Speaking of Padres baseball, I wanted to give a shout-out to Fox Sports San Diego. Yesterday was National Baseball Card Day. don't know if you saw any of the telecasts.
I saw the segment you're about to talk about.
Well, they did a tremendous job of the lineups were in baseball cards. They had all of Mark Grant's cards going down to his minor league cards.
Love like, it.
For a topic that kind of lands at your feet for National Baseball Card Day.
Yeah.
They went above and beyond delivering on the broadcast to, you know, for those of us that were collectors. I was a collector as a kid. Were you a collector?
You know, not rabid. I tell you this, with the house that I grew up in, my parents bought in 1968. We moved in and there was a decent sized cardboard box full of the family's kids. Baseball
that they left behind?
Left behind.
What the hell?
And so I did what every kid does. You take as many as you can with a clothesline clip, and you put them in the spokes of your
tie. Speaking of Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
And the Babe Ruth card in here.
I can't believe the dumbass did that to my card. He'd be a multimillionaire right now.
Yeah, so, no, so yeah, as a kid, there was a periodic you would just on a whim at 7-Eleven buy a pack of baseball cards, but I always bought them for the, I bought them for the gum.
Sure.
I loved the gum.
Well, if you missed it, this was an incredible moment, a back and forth between Mark and Don, speaking of packs of cards and gum, they opened up a pack.
Just having one.
You have to try it.
No, I don't want to try it.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
What happens?
It just you have to. You're not going to die. It's disgusting.
Know?
Just keep chewing.
It's only been a couple minutes. I'm fine.
Yeah, right.
Actually, whoa. Oh, gross.
Isn't it?
Oh, it's disgusting.
You got it.
Oh, my God. 29-year-old gum. Oh, gross.
The old gross, the same reaction when you walked in here, we saw your shorts. It was
kinda,
like, oh my God, no.
Kinda.
Gross.
Oh, gross. Those kinda. Are disgusting.
It's if you find the video today, it's hysterical because the way that Don goes from, everything's fine to, oh God, wait a second. If you've ever chewed a really old piece of baseball card bubble gum, it just kind of disintegrates to nothing in your mouth. It doesn't come together like a normal piece of bubble gum.
We will, by the way, if you miss the interview Rod Barajas did with the Darren Smith Show at 7 o'clock, wait until you hear what Rod said about Fernando Tatis Jr. That's upcoming at 7 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. We'll continue our NFL whip around. We'll go to Houston coming up at 6:30. Now, where are we going?
We're going to Carolina.
We're going to Carolina.
Of the Panthers. Mick Mixon's going to join us at 6:30.
We already went to Houston.
We did.
We
last
did
week.
Houston. Yeah. I enjoyed it so much I wanted to go back. Hey. Instead, we are going to Carolina. We'll talk about the Panthers.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get a little fancy football advice for Christian McCaffrey at 6:30. Did you watch any preseason football this weekend?
Being the diehard card-carrying member of the Raider Nation, of course I did. I was there front and center when the Rams and Raiders kicked off from beautiful Oakland. Nothing
still
like
on the baseball
still
field.
On the baseball field.
Holy crap, man.
Oh, God. And I saw their young tight end, Morneau, catch a pass and then get hit and like hit the dirt and then spin. And God, they cannot listen. It's terrible, in my opinion, that they're leaving Oakland. They belong in Oakland, but they could. That to me, that is like you talk about unnecessary risk for football players playing on that infield skin.
Can I ask the family a question? As we get into some preseason football talk, we'll talk about Antonio Brown as well. This is one of my favorite stories I've ever discussed ever on the radio. But here's a question, all right? Who's the idiot? 844-570-1360.
Should I raise my hand now?
No, it's like you had this look on your face where you're like, you said you were going to be nice today. You said you were going to be
like
nice today.
It's like when Randy Jones walked into the clubhouse and said, hey.
Yeah. And I'm the one who looked up. Okay.
Hey, butthole.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, what's up, man?
Who's the idiot? Andy Reid or John Gruden?
Oh.
Because you've got Patrick Mahomes playing for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
You've got Derek Carr not playing for the Oakland Raiders. 844-570-1360. And I guess I would ask the family this. Why is Patrick Mahomes playing? Or is the better question, why is Derek Carr not playing? 844-570-1360. Text your show 70470. Costa, who is the idiot here?
I have to say Andy Reid, because the Raiders are not going to a Super Bowl. And I know you could counter that by saying, okay, then Derek Carr should be out there trying to improve. The Chiefs have a very, very, very great chance of getting to the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes is not seeing the field in the preseason. Mm-hmm. You know what you got with him. It is a complete set. He's one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the NFL, maybe one of the most dynamic players. Why risk it? And then when you see him running the ball down towards the goal line, and as Fletch pointed out, and then he cuts back where a lot of ferocious hits come on the football field, he does get down. He doesn't take the hit. But him being out there, completely nonsense in my book.
Yeah, so, okay, so you say that it's the Chiefs, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes.
Right, and I'm not just being a Raider fan either. Well, again, I'm going by the fact that the Chiefs have so much at stake and so much possibility this season.
If you're a Raider fan, couldn't you make the case it is the Raiders because they should be putting in work? The team that was 12-4 last year has Mahomes connecting with Travis Kelce virtually right out of the jump of that game in a beautiful pass.
Yeah.
The team that was not jumping off sides away from playing in the Super Bowl is the team that is playing their number ones. The quarterback that threw for 50 touchdowns last year to 12 interceptions, he is playing.
Yes.
Where Derek Carr, the Raiders didn't find it necessary to play him with his 19 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He threw 31 more touchdowns, Mahomes than Carr, yet Patrick Mahomes is playing.
But I think based on those numbers, Judd, and 844-570-1360 family, who's the bigger idiot, Reader or Gruden? I think based on the numbers you just read, it makes a stronger case why Patrick Mahomes should not be playing.
I would disagree. I would disagree just out of the fact of Andy Reid's accomplishment as a head coach, where Andy Reid, he's got 207, his career record, 207, 138, and 1. All right, John Gruden has 104 wins as an NFL head coach. So the head coach that has 100-plus more victories than John Gruden is able to find importance in preseason games. Andy Reid's accomplishments, I know Gruden may have won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But let's not forget, Andy Reid, 5 consecutive NFC Championship games with the Eagles. He is constantly won double-digit games with the Chiefs. With Alex Smith, who is somewhat a cast-off by the San Francisco 49ers, I think the world of Andy Reid, and if Andy Reid's able to find value in preseason games, why isn't a team that went 4-12 last year, where everyone isn't convinced that Gruden even likes Derek Carr, where he's not trying to put Derek Carr in the best place to win, where Andy Reid seems that this is the best case for Patrick Mahomes to try to win, to play in the preseason.
Good to me.
Carr, does Carr need a lot of work? He certainly does. Is Carr the future of the Raiders? No, that is a big question mark. I don't know, because if you look at the way most teams handle preseason, you know, you didn't see Phillip Rivers start and playing that game against the Cardinals. You didn't see a lot of teams out there.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
Also, if you're Derek Carr, wouldn't you, card-carrying member of the Raiders fan, whatever the hell that means.
A Raider Nation.
Yeah, that too. Wouldn't you want your quarterback who's had the years that he's had to raise this guy, actual audio of Derek Carr. Wouldn't you want Derek Carr to be like, I want to play in this game? Because all the internet's doing is celebrating the great Nathan Peterman.
Well, might be the future.
Shouldn't Carr want to play in this game?
You're making such valid argument about why Carr needs a preseason.
Yeah, 4-12.
You're right, because the fan base is still thinking, okay, that great season he had, was that just a complete anomaly, and he is just an average quarterback in the NFL? We'll ask Cam Cameron that coming up at 8:30. I just think that Mahomes being in there, to me, is the bigger what the hell are you doing than Derek Carr not playing in that game.
Fletch, you with Pop on this?
Derek Carr needs to be playing in that game.
Thank you.
After coming off of last season where he was terrible, like, there's no sugarcoating it. He was awful. He needs as much practice as he can get with the wide receivers he has now.
Yeah, and why wouldn't he say, because I feel like Gruden, and as much as I thought this Hard Knocks wouldn't be very good, this may be a great episode. We know that we have fights at camp.
Mm-hmm.
We got the conversation between Gruden and Carr where he's like, why can't you be a little bit more like me, a jerk?
Yeah.
Right? I want Derek Carr to go to John Gruden and go, Coach,
I need to be in there.
I know that you don't want me to play in this game. I need to be in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to start proving leadership to really the 2019 season that it's going to be different than 2018.
I know that the optics look like, and I said this last week about Derek Carr, and based a lot on what we saw in that first episode of Hard Knocks, that he's the guy who just wants to make everybody happy. And there might be a part of him, and I hope to God it's not the case, but hey, if I'm not out there, I'm not making mistakes and I'm not giving reason to people to hammer me. And boy, you want the guy, you're right, that raises his hand and said, John, I sucked last year. I need to be in that game. And if he's not because he's afraid to make a mistake, then they are in big, big trouble.
Andy Reid thinks that the MVP should be playing one full quarter, by the way. He didn't play a series. One full quarter.
It just boggles my mind why you would risk it, though.
The Raiders and Derek Carr, he did not play at all. Which was a bigger misstep? Derek Carr not playing, Patrick Mahomes playing.
Is it Gruden in some sort of psychological way telling us, you ain't the future anyhow, so I'm not going to waste time with you in the first preseason game?
Let's go to Rob, 844-570-1360. Rob, on a Monday, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning. Hey, the reason why you guys cited Andy Reid is not very smart for playing Mahomes, because you know what you're going to get with Mahomes, is I think the same reason why Gruden isn't playing Derek Carr. You know what you're going to get with Derek Carr, and I don't think Gruden and the Raiders are confident that Derek Carr is their guy. I think what Gruden's doing is he wants to get a real good look at his backup, and I grant that Peterman is a backup, and we'll take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But I think he wants to see what he has, and don't be surprised if Derek Carr gets benched at some point in the season, and Gruden needs to know what he's got his other guys.
Yeah, but if the only thing right now, I realize the first round of cuts haven't come. If the only thing that Gruden has is Mike Glennon and Nathan Peterman, then you're almost sitting here thinking, okay, they are just playing for another a top draft choice next season where they hope they can get the heir apparent to Derek Carr.
I felt like John Gruden really went out of his way to compliment Nathan Peterman.
I'm not convinced
that was a message to the media or a message to Derek Carr. You know who I think it was a message to? Nathan Peterman.
Could be.
And I think that was Gruden. That was Gruden telling Nathan Peterman. Rob, great call, by the way.
Yes.
I think that's such a great point. It's like, hey, Derek, you're gonna start, but I'm gonna make sure that we get the best look at these other two guys to decide that when you suck in a half,
yeah,
you're down. Guy is up.
Judd, it could be him again sending a message, or maybe trying to create the atmosphere. Maybe he wants Derek looking over his shoulder because maybe he thinks that's going to light the fire. That's going to jumpstart him. That's going to get him back into that form he had a couple years ago.
So, about last night.
What the f*** happened last night?
Judson and Costa have this morning's trending topics.
I really do feel like behind closed doors, the Raiders, the conversation regarding Antonio Brown is like, WTF happened in this saga? Now, John Gruden, we're going to hear from John right now. He can say as many positive things as he wants about Antonio Brown, Costa. Yeah. The bottom line is, AB is not there.
If it was just Antonio Brown's, the feet that you're so fascinated with, if it was just the feet issue, you're like, okay, guy was an idiot, should have put the socks on, we're going to deal with it, he's going to be back, we're going to be fine. But now, since the Mike Silver lengthy tweet came out, all these other ancillary potential distractions that just Antonio Brown is bringing. I mean, I need to play in my helmet. And if it's not my helmet, I'm not going to play. You mentioned WTFing in the frickin' meetings behind the doors. That's exactly what's going on.
But I support this guy. You know, I think that's what needs to be said. I don't know what anybody's writing or what anybody thinks, but this foot injury wasn't his fault. You know, this was a total accident. It really wasn't his fault, and it's a serious injury. I know some people are smarting at it, but it's really not a laughing matter. The guy was hurt. He was innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. And the helmet thing is a personal matter to him. You know, he has a strong feeling about what he's worn on his head, and we're supporting him. We understand the league's position as well, so we're in a tough spot. And we hope Antonio is back here soon because he's exciting to be around. I'm excited. I got some plays for him. I hope we can start calling him.
You know, out of all the things I've said about Gruden, because I like picking on John Gruden. I hope that the Raiders are pretty round this year. I think they're going to suck, but
so do I.
I wouldn't mind seeing it. Can we check in with Mike Florio? If you recall our great interview that we did on Friday, do you remember the back and forth we had with Florio?
Yeah.
We'll get to that in just a few minutes. But I felt like when Antonio Brown was a punchline of what was going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers, when AB's name was being dragged through the mud,
yeah,
I felt like it was John Gruden that reminded us not only the numbers he's put up over the last 6 years, which are historical, best in the NFL, but Gruden, all he talked about was the work ethic of Antonio Brown. And I felt like when everyone else was kicking AB, John Gruden did come in, give him an opportunity, and I felt kind of changed the narrative at that moment on the name of Antonio Brown. And now I look at how AB is repaying the Raiders and John Gruden, where you have to think what we thought there may be something going on with AB, it's still going on, and now the Raiders are paying the price for it.
He is stupid good. We all admit that. He's also stupid. And I'm sorry, Coach, saying that the frostbitten feet is not his fault. I think Antonio Brown, this was not his first time in one of those cryo chambers.
Well, man, listen, maybe he got some bad advice. He was in France. He got in, and I don't know. But I still go back to, why is he not getting treatment with the team and the team facilities? Why is he not in meetings? He is virtually gone AWOL. It's hard to not see it any other way, because the things he's dealing with, he could all be dealing with them as a Raider getting ready for the season.
Somebody put out on Twitter that we should all wear blazers when Nick is in studio, because Nick comes in and he's dressed to the nines.
That was me, buddy.
Okay, was you? Yeah. Oh, was it you?
That was me.
Okay, so you said that. Now think about if management came to us and said, we want you to start wearing a coat and tie every morning to do the show, we would be uncomfortable in our own skin. I get the helmet thing, that it's something that you're used to, and it's, you don't even think about it. Hey, I'm putting my helmet on. And
really? Maybe not one other complaint? Odell Beckham Jr. has no complaints? The divas of the NFL, AB is the only guy that seems to have a real problem with
maybe
the helmet.
Well, maybe he's the only guy that is taking it to this next level. So the comfort and the familiarity with it, I get it. But then now the story's coming out that he tried to paint over it to make it look like it was one of the new helmets.
Well, that I kind of appreciate.
Yeah. And, you know, if I'm the NFL, I said, you know what, Antonio, we get it. You know, go ahead and wear your old non-CTE sanctioned helmet. But here's a 100-page waiver. You're not going to come after us when it's all said and done, saying, oh, my God, I didn't know, or this CTE that set in, I had no idea. If, go ahead, wear your old helmet.
Yeah. You wouldn't hear me complain if they grandfathered it in and he signed something.
Yeah.
Didn't they do that in hockey? Didn't you have to wear masks, but it was grandfathered in, where you'd see guys who were like, why is his face not protected?
It's
because he's like 42 and they said it was okay.
Helmetless players at the time that they made the helmet, you had to wear a helmet, were grandfathered in. There were still guys without him.
Right.
And the shield thing is, you're right, it's another thing, it's grandfathered in. It only makes sense to us, okay, you're playing hockey, you can take one to the eyes and lose an eye, yeah, you're going to wear a shield, because it seems like, why even think twice about it? You just do it. Us looking at the outside at any NFL player and say, come on, dude, they're trying to protect your head, wear the new helmet.
Yeah,
but
and if there's
again,
one head, it kind of feels like it needs protecting.
Well, yeah.
And that we're in a tough spot.
Yes, you are.
You
John.
Are in a tough spot, Johnny. All right, what kind of season can fans expect out of Cam Newton, and how important a season is this for Ron Rivera's tenure in Carolina? Mick Mixon, the voice of the Panthers, he's going to break it down.
Darren Smith here, coming up at 12 noon. We're going to recap a busy weekend in sports. We got a little bit of everything. We got a little bit of baseball. We got a little bit of football. We've got an NBA schedule coming out. A lot to chat about at 12 noon today. Right here, the D. Smith Show on Extra 1360 and 103.3 FM.
In about 15 minutes, we'll get to the best of the weekend. A lot of good stuff this past weekend. Talk a little Carolina Panthers right now. How much can they improve on last year's 7-9 record? The voice of the Panthers, Mick Mixon, with us here on Extra. Mick, good morning. How are you?
Well, it's an honor to be on your show. I appreciate you guys even remembering that the Carolina Panthers are in the National Football League. Giving us a little love after the inglorious finish to last season.
Well, you mentioned, yes, you are in the NFL, and we're doing our training camp tour. And it's an interesting story. Not only, you know, Ron Rivera and this season, how it affects his tenure as the head coach of the Panthers, but what have you seen so far from Cam Newton coming off of the shoulder injury?
Did you guys see any of the All or Nothing, the Amazon Prime?
Yes.
Series on our club?
We did.
I think that, you know, Cam's going to have haters. He's got people who love him, people who love his sense of fashion and his YouTube channel and those who don't. But I think by any objective analysis, if you rack that up and watch some of the All or Nothing, the beautifully done NFL Films Amazon Prime feature on our season last year, I mean, you got to hit the reset button on your feelings about Cam. I think he definitely cares so much. I think he's turned a little bit of a maturity corner. Not that he was a knucklehead previously, but I mean, I cannot imagine him playing his career without him winning a couple of Super Bowls and bringing absolute victory to the Carolinas. His shoulder's great, fellas. I mean, he's made all the throws. If you did not know that he had had shoulder surgery, you could not tell it from watching him at training camp. Fan fest, walkthroughs, deep throws, outcuts, underneath stuff. He looks great.
Mick, I got to say, regarding Cam Newton, there was a story about Cam where there was a sick child that was not going to make it to Halloween. And so Cam Newton, because the whole neighborhood got involved to have Halloween early. And Cam Newton showed up, I think, in a Spider-Man costume or just delivered this Halloween. I was like, okay, well, from here on out, I am a Cam Newton fan. I couldn't pull off the white overalls, but a big-time Cam Newton fan. How's Norv Turner doing there?
Uncle Norv, gosh, we love this guy. It's so fantastic. He's, you know, he's the combination curmudgeonly old man, brilliant football savant. The creative, the neurons that he's got to rub together and how much he's seen. He's an important part of the history of the NFL. And just to be on the same practice field as him, just standing over on the sideline watching him work, is a joyous Noel. And I think he's fired up about this offense and what it's capable of. Christian McCaffrey, the 22, can throw it, can catch it. You can snap it to him, hand it to him. He's an incredible weapon. A big story here at training camp has been Curtis Samuel, the return to prominence of Curtis Samuel, now healthy and has got the juice that you need at a receiver. Tight end position looks good. The O-line's been slightly retooled with the addition of Darrell Williams, the return of Darrell Williams after he shredded a knee last year. So this is what the NFL does. It hikes up its skirt. It winks at you. It makes you think that you could take a winning season out onto the dance floor and spin her around. And so that's what I'm feeling with the Panthers. I think it's going to be our year.
You know, Mick, NFL Films has to use the line you just had about the skirt and the dance floor in the highlight film of the 2019 Carolina Panthers. Mick Mixon, longtime voice of the Panthers, with us here on Extra.
Mick, I feel like you just gave us a bold prediction. You said that this is it? They win it this year?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's why not? It's all the. I think what you seriously, you know, we kid around a lot, Mike and Judson, but it is. You want to start the season, I think, as being one of a half a dozen teams that has the talent, that has the roster, the balance, the coaching staff to be able to be in the conversation. And I think, you know, maybe let's say there could be eight teams or maybe 10, but I think you want to be in that upper third or fourth, and then you got to get a little bit lucky and stay healthy, win some close games. So I definitely think I wouldn't bet my life on it, but I'd bet my truck on it and I'd bet my house on it that the Panthers are in that tier.
Mick, you have Superman and Cam, and now apparently you've got Spider-Man and first rounder Brian Burns. It looks like, from what I've read and seen, very impressive from the get-go, the outside linebacker.
It's kind of the way defenses are going with those long, lean, twitchy, rush ends, outside backers that can spin, and the whirling dervish of fury that gets off the edge and makes it hard for tackles, backs, and tight ends to get them out of the play. Burns is a bow-legged kid. I mean, he's got long arms and he's got that effervescent pass rush, but he's also robust enough and determined enough, I think, to set an edge and support the run. He had a gaudy start with his preseason game at Chicago. You got on the other side of him, Bruce Irvin. Irvin is mean. And Mario Addison, and then K.K. Short, Dontari Poe, Gerald McCoy. We won the Gerald McCoy sweepstakes. So this is why I'm so excited about this season, is this Panther defense could be have one of the best front sevens in the game.
Mick, I want to ask you about Christian McCaffrey. My producer, Maria, just asked about said his muscles. I really want to ask you about McCaffrey's muscles, because we can all agree that he's very, very muscular. Maybe Fletch can address on his own at another time. Could you give us maybe some fantasy football advice? I mean, what can we expect from Christian McCaffrey this year?
Well, I don't see what all the fuss is about. I mean, he looks just like just another guy to me, but
yeah, okay. Sure.
But you know, I asked him what his training, because I had all my friends when that picture posted on social media. You know, Mick, you know, my son plays junior high school lacrosse, and he wants to know what Christian eats. And so I said, Christian, what can I tell everybody? And he just looked at me and just deadpan. He said, Doritos and Coke.
Oh. So we're on our way.
I feel so much better about myself now, Mick.
I know, me too. I just had a physical, and I tested. My blood tested very high in riboflavin.
Mick Mixon, the voice of the Panthers, with us here. Mick, it's a bottom-line business, and what is this year the importance for Ron Rivera's tenure as the head coach?
I really hadn't even thought about that. I guess that's on the table, but I hadn't even thought about it until you brought it up, and I suppose that with last year and – you know, it's been 2000. Panthers made the Super Bowl run in 2015. Everybody knows that it's a production-based business, so I suspect if things do not go well this year, then our owner, David Tepper, who's in his second year, a hedge fund billionaire, you know, who knows what would be in his mind of what we would do moving forward. But I just think that the potential for this season is so immense that I can't even imagine a universe where Ron Rivera has to go to Kinko's and work on his resume after this year.
Mick, really appreciate the time. Let's do this once the season gets here. Have a great day. Thank you again.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on your show.
Mick Mixon, voice of the Carolina Panthers.
Well, I tried to actually get some stuff on McCaffrey.
Well, Doritos and Coke.
I mean, it was derailed. I tried throwing Fletcher under the bus there,
yeah.
But then he really did just want to talk about his muscles.
Well, what did Mick say? Riboflavin? That apparently is the key.
Is that what's in Doritos or what makes Coca-Cola
soda? I think that's what's in soda.
So
that's the chemical everyone's worried about.
In soda?
I'm down.
It's so funny because you will, and I remember being, I was in high school when Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, 1998, I was 17 years old when they were the 1998 run.
Lots of riboflavin.
You can imagine what I thought I needed to look like Mark McGwire's forearms. And so it's very easy to see like a kid in high school, like a freshman who's like 110 pounds soaking wet, and be like, hey, Dad, you know, go ask Mr. Mixon to ask Christian McCaffrey how I can get there. And it's like, it's called a bloodline. Like,
well,
it's called genes.
It
you know
is.
Who his family is?
But it's also called, the only thing you have to concentrate on is football, studying, and working out.
But it's also bloodlines, Costa.
Yeah.
The fast twitch muscle fiber, I mean, the way that Christian McCaffrey is built has nothing to do with exercise. I mean, of course he needs to stay in shape. Ed McCaffrey, who was his father, if you don't know, Ed McCaffrey was a Bronco great 49er. What, he won 4 Super Bowls as a lengthy wide receiver. His wife is a world-class athlete.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, no. Listen, the lineage, Christian McCaffrey was going to succeed athletically, most likely, whatever
he chose.
He's
got a brother that's a quarterback, University of Michigan. Like, look up the fam, all right, before you start wondering about Christian McCaffrey's diet, all right, or how you can look like Brad Pitt. Just know. Just love what you have.
Mom and Dad.
Oh,
had a lot
I
to
love
do.
It.
I love the Cam Newton impersonation of Norv Turner. Costa ate something this weekend that I just have to. I don't quite understand it. I have to learn about it. Best of the week.
There's a lot more that happens over a weekend than we can fit in a 3-hour show.
You have got to be shaving me. That is cartoonish. That only happens in cartoons.
Mike Costa and Judson Richards give you the best of the rest with the best of the weekend.
Yeah, we are off and running on a Monday. Good morning, San Diego. Good to be with you. Question for you upcoming at 7 o'clock. Are the Padres still in this thing? Nobody answer. 7 o'clock, we will answer that question. Also, Darren Smith, new to 3 and Extra 1360, did a great interview with Rod Barajas. Wait until you hear what Rod said about FTJ. That's Fernando Tatis Jr. And I think I'm going to make a play for FTJ.
Okay.
I just like the way it comes out. It sounds presidential. And I think he's about to be the freaking president of Major League Baseball.
Well, you had LBJ, you had FDR. Why not FTJ?
FTJ.
Why not?
We'll talk about Fernando coming up at 7 o'clock. Kevin Acey, 7:30. Football Hour with Nick Hardwick. Entire 8 o'clock hour.
Hello.
Cam Cameron, 8:30. We got prizes to give away. We are rocking. We are rolling. And we want to know about your weekend. What was your best of the weekend out there? 844-570-1360. Text us, 70470. Guys, if you don't mind, I'll go first today.
Fire away.
I feel like I became, I don't know if I'd say I became a man this weekend, but I felt like this was the next step.
It finally happened.
In manlyhood. Wow. Well, no, it'll happen after the wedding.
Welcome to the team.
But the first...
it'll happen after the wedding.
Hopefully immediately after. Minutes after.
Maybe during.
Maybe. If she's so lucky. I finally got, for the first ever time in a home that I lived in, flat screen mounted on the wall.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's much more important than the
The goal was before football season.
Okay.
It is up. It is mounted. Special shout out to neighbor Justin.
What's up, Justin?
Right across the way. Justin and I, we become friends. I was in his house and he was talking about mounting his flat screen. He's like, I've mounted hundreds of flat screens. It's actually, he works in security and puts things up.
Okay.
So he's like, you need help. Boom. Got you. And I was like, text.
Nice.
Came over. Zing, zing, ring, ring.
How big a TV are we talking?
Oh, it's a 60-inch. It's not, that you know, works. It's not the 105-inch like the Costa household.
Oh, yeah. Well, right. Yeah, no worries.
But, you know.
Good for you.
Baby steps.
I love it, man. Thank you. Good for you.
You sent out a photo.
I did.
I couldn't tell if this looked amazing or gross.
It was amazing. It was life-changing, brought a tear to my eye. It might be part of my normal workout regimen from this point on in the weekend.
Okay, Christian McCaffrey.
I mentioned that we had Tove's birthday yesterday. We celebrated, even though it was a week ago. And Meg and I asked him, hey, do you want a cake or whatever? He said, you know what I really like, Dad? Would you mind going to Donut Bar downtown and just getting a bunch of different donuts? I said, sure. So I put in a pre-order Saturday afternoon. It's a lot easier to do it that way. And I'd ordered one kind of donut. And when I got down there, they said, listen, we didn't make these. Would you like to substitute one? I said, sure. Pick something out. She goes, well, have you tried the grilled cheese donut? And
hold on. A grilled cheese donut.
Some people think that's disgusting, but I mean, it's good to me.
So they make this giant, like Homer Simpson sized donut, but there's no frosting on it. And then they cut said donut in half, and then they butter up both sides that have been cut, and they grill it. And then they, once it's halfway grilled, then they put the cheese in it, and they grill it the rest of the way. Judson, this is one of the most awesome things I've ever had.
So it's a glazed donut.
No, there's no glaze on it. That's the thing. You get the sweetness from the donut batter, but it's mostly savory from the cheeses they use. Donut Bar, you have taken donuts to a new level, and it is now going to be my go-to. That was just incredible.
Can we do this Thursday?
Sure. Why not? I'm going to.
So it was good.
Judd, it was really good.
You're like making audible love to it right now.
Well, it's a donut. audible. Sorry.
Yeah, audible.
Super. Yeah. Super good.
You actually plan on eating it later today?
Yeah.
Whoa. Fletch, you wolfed something down this weekend.
Lots of things, but the most notably, you know, this is the last weekend before Aztec's craziness starts.
Yes.
Which I'm so excited for.
It's actually August 31st.
Well, FanFest is this upcoming weekend.
Okay. I just don't want you to mislead people.
First weekend to work for me for Aztec stuff. So Kendall and I had a date weekend. We went to DCA, Disney California Adventure, got a bread bowl of mac and cheese. Oh. Dear Lord, the carbs. I felt so. We did split it, but let's be honest, I do most of the eating.
Thank you, Walt Disney.
So full, still full. Loved every second of it.
A bread bowl of mac and cheese. Wow. I did not eat healthy this weekend. Actually, we cooked up a tri-tip Friday night.
Oh.
Which, you know what's great? Because it was like a $30 piece of meat, but we then had it again. We made tacos with it.
Sure.
And we had it again. We had tacos again Saturday night. And then I had more meat for lunch on Sunday. So it's like, it doesn't feel that expensive if you enjoy it all weekend.
No.
And your diet starts today.
And my diet, yeah. That's right. So you stop talking about food.
Okay.
You stop talking about food.
Oh, God, that's right.
Yeah, photo shoot 2 weeks ago from last Saturday.
All right.
Are you going shirtless for it?
Probably. I mean, yes. It depends on how the weight loss goes.
Get that maybe washboard belly tea. Ab going.
How I've been doing, you know, burpees over the commercial break. So.
How are you doing, you know, almost an hour into it? Did it start at 6 or when you got up this morning?
Well, I haven't eaten before the show for years
you.
Now. So I'm used to not eating. What will it be like at lunchtime and dinner time that's going to be? Let's ease back a little bit.
We are getting sombreros tomorrow.
Ooh.
I love sombreros.
Wow.
Son of a bitch.
Well, you know what? What you can eat, Fletch and I will.
No, I can tell. I'm proud of you guys. You guys are team players, man.
We are.
Team
we always have your
players.
Back. All right, even though the Padres seem to be just playing out the string in 2019, are they? Or are they really in this? And some interesting comments from Rod Barajas after this.
It's the Football Hour with Nick Hardwick.
Well, let's go. We're going to run the ball here. All right, we're going to run the ball.
This morning at 8 on Extra 1360.